back, everyone, to Critical Success. I'm your Game Master, James D'Amato. Thanks so much for the response to last week's episode.
I work really hard on all of my podcasting projects, and I appreciate it when people get something out of them. I just want to remind everyone that this is the companion podcast to One Shot, which updates every Thursday.
So let's not waste any time and dive right in. There's no getting around it. Dungeon mastering is intimidating. If you were simply responsible for building every combat, statting every NPC, keeping track of the setting, keeping track of player wants and needs, and scheduling most of the games to make sure they happen, dungeon mastering would be a stressful position bordering on a nightmare. Of course, because you also have to manage a delicate social balance between at least four people, dungeon mastering is an actual nightmare. Players need and want different things all the time. And sometimes they're difficult about it, too. A lot of fledgling games get cut down early on because a GM doesn't know how to manage their players. Even experienced GMs have trouble with players from time to time. While it would admittedly be incredibly ambitious of me to tackle the entire issue of difficult players in one 30-minute podcast, I do believe I can start approaching it with you guys. To do that, I'm going to turn to a listener question. This one comes from Yusef Tana, who writes, "My group of six players are all friends with each other. Good friends. But one of the players at our table has become a rules lawyer, and almost seems to delight in arguing with me over every single judgment I make during the game. Unless, of course, it benefits his character's goals. I have had conversations with this guy, and he does not accept that he is the issue at our table. Is the right thing to do to tell him that I have talked to him several times and it's not working out, and that he is no longer invited to game with us? That will no doubt cause an issue in our friendship. Do you have any advice to add to this? Respectfully, Yusef Tana." Well, I'm pretty sure that every single experienced dungeon master listening to this podcast right now is flashing back to their problem player experiences right at this very moment, Yusef. So let's see if we can help you out with that.
I'd like to start with a few words in defense of rules lawyers.
Sure, from time to time they can slow down the game and be a headache for everyone. But other times they can be a huge enhancement to the game. My first DM did things by the book. If there was a rule for it, he was going to use that rule. His game paid very close attention to things like encumbrance rules and environmental rules. And he actually used the charts in the back of the book to randomly roll us treasure. This meant even simple aspects of our adventure, like walking across the desert, became thrilling live-or-die scenarios that had our characters' lives hanging in the balance. If you play a game like D&D by the rules, you'll find yourself scrounging for food, struggling to sleep, and keeping watch faithfully every night. It can be thrilling. And while struggling to survive might not sound like the most fun adventure you've ever heard of, it actually provided tons of opportunity for role-playing. There were plenty of times where we were sitting around the campfire because we were on watch, where we got to explore our characters in ways we never would have been afforded had we simply moved on with the story. It was very experiential. The sort of game that I was glad to have as my first, because it showed me the importance of the player in role-playing. Sometimes the GM doesn't have all the power. In fact, the power may be in the hands of the dice. So you have to make the most of the story that you can. That said, rules lawyers have the tendency to fuck things up, too. They can slow the game down to an agonizing crawl. In tactical systems like Pathfinder or D&D, combat is slow enough. It can take almost an hour to get through a normal encounter. That's way longer if you're stopping every 5 minutes to check up on the rules for combat maneuvers. Experienced GMs have the tendency to simplify certain rules or overlook them altogether. From our perspective, that's for the good of the game. But from the player's perspective, it can be very different. To learn how to deal with that annoying rules lawyer, you have to understand the mentality that turns someone into a rules lawyer in the first place. So, let's explain the psychology behind this move. In most tabletop RPGs, there is an unignorable power disparity between players and the GM. After all, at any moment during the game, you can declare, "Rocks fall, party dies," and that's it. When players listen to your rulings, there's a lot of trust involved. Sure, there's the expectation that as the DM, your word is law.
However, players need to trust that you're making fair rulings. A lot of the time, people get the mantle of DM simply because there's nobody else who is able to run the game. If the party feels that you're abusing your role as Game Master, they can feel trapped. Once players feel trapped, they become uncooperative. Even if it is only one member of your party that doesn't trust you, it can be a huge disruption to your game. And players have an excuse to be uncooperative, because they've already made a huge emotional investment. Creating a character is no small feat.
Even in games like Call of Cthulhu, where the expectation is that your character is going to die at some point, there's a lot of emotional attachment involved in creating a character. The point is, there's a lot of potential for abuse in a Game Master situation. You have to make sure that your players understand your motives and trust you to do the fair thing. Even if your entire goal is to come off as the good and fair DM, that power imbalance remains, and you're contending with a lot. There's years of negative media portrayal of the Dungeon Master as a vindictive psychopath who wants nothing more but to kill every character on the field. If you're new, your friends may only know this version of the Dungeon Master. You also have no idea what your players' past experiences were. They might have had that shitty vindictive DM in the past and be bringing that baggage to your game. And we all know, as fair as we try to be, we do fudge the rules from time to time. It just makes running the game easier and sometimes more dramatic. I definitely fudged the rules for one shot. If you'll remember the encounter with the Zombie King...
Half damage.
26. So 26. He takes 13.
Oh, man. So he catches fire.
Yes. His blound head.
And yeah, his like, he's got a fiery crown on his head. He's wailing in pain and he's flailing about. He's still hanging on, and it comes to his turn.
Yeah, the Zombie King ran out of hit points right there. But I didn't believe it was quite dramatic enough that they took out my big bad boss in 3 hits, maybe? Sure, taking out the final boss with a fireball is okay, but Cat wasn't the one with the established grudge against zombies. Pat had made it very clear that his character wanted nothing more but to have vengeance for his fallen family. So, I gave the guy a few extra hit points. For that round, every character contributed in some way to the ultimate defeat of the Zombie King. The fireball set him on fire. Earlier that turn, Aldov had healed everyone, enabling them all to deliver their final blows.
I move to a more center part of the battlefield, and raising the sign of Torag into the air, say, "This is for my friends!" And I heal my friends.
Aww, thank you.
Everyone heals for 11 hit points.
I'm back up.
Even me.
Yeah, even you. Even me. Even all of us.
Cobb brought him to his knees.
You cut at his feet, and you take out his tendons and sinews, bringing him to his knees. He is at this point...
Oh, how ironic that you're at your knees now, your majesty.
Were you on your... Oh, I mean, I get it.
I don't...
And that left Remy to deliver the finishing blow.
13. So I only have one question for you, Remy. What do you say as you kill the Zombie King?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Do that glue factory thing.
No, that's someone else's bit.
For Lion's Beard. I love that so much.
Oh, his mom and his dad were named Lion's Beard. That's why he said that thing when he killed the guy.
Was that legal within the rules? No. The Zombie King ran out of hit points when he got hit by that fireball. But I think it made for a more dramatic game that we had our party leader take out the big bad boss. From time to time as a GM, you are going to have to fudge things. So it is reasonable for your party to be suspicious that you might be bending the rules. On top of all that, you play the fucking villains! At least once a night, you're doing something to upset or inconvenience the party in some way. It is reasonable and easy for players to feel like they are being hunted or even persecuted by the GM at some point. There are definitely some people who really do care about encumbrance rules, but that's generally not the reason people become disruptive rules lawyers. In times of crisis, people will turn to anything they can understand and control to protect themselves. In the case of players fleeing from the wrath of an angry DM, that's the rules. The rules exist to make things fair. If players perceive that they are being treated unfairly, they're probably going to try and use the rules to tip things back in their favor. Fighting the DM's authority with the rules might just be a player's way of telling you that he or she feels threatened in the game. Odds are you aren't cackling madly while reading the monster manual, dreaming of ways to ruin that player's life. But I can assure you that it is not uncommon or unreasonable for players to think that way. Reddit is full of stories of psychotic DMs subjecting the party to miserable tortures in their horror dungeons. Nobody wants that for their character. Sure, there are tactical, challenge-based one-shots where your objective is to sort of be the party's opponent. But most of the time, playing GM as opponent is a bad idea, and it creates disharmony in the group. As a GM, you must portray the Machiavellian ideal. You must be a leader who is both feared and loved. Players have to understand, while you are going to challenge them, you're also not going to kill them arbitrarily. In most cases, you can fix the problem of disruptive rules lawyering by making it clear to the party that you're not out to get them. This doesn't mean you need to break out the kid gloves. Your game can absolutely still be lethal. But you need to make it clear that you're not being intentionally cruel. Most parties don't need to be reminded that the GM is the boss. Providing your players with a challenge is different than beating them up for no reason. The best way to avoid rules lawyers is to prevent them from popping up in the first place. And it's easy to do that by running your game in a way that seems fair and honest. Of course, in a situation like Yusef's, we don't have the advantage of preventative action. Now, Yusef definitely did the right thing by trying to talk it out. That is the only way these problems get solved. You can't just hope that a rules lawyer is going to start backing down one day. There is no way to remind the party of your authority by making an example of somebody. That doesn't work, and it's going to create more problems for you. Like all things in life, there's a right and a wrong way to go about talking. Bringing up difficult issues with friends is hard enough. You don't need to make it harder by going about it the wrong way. Did Yusef do things the wrong way? Well, I'm not exactly sure on that. Yusef seems like a pretty reasonable guy. However, he did have one section of his email that makes me worry. Yusef mentions that he talked to the player several times, and that the player said that he didn't think he was the issue. Which means Yusef might have directly accused his player of causing issues in the game. While there is a really good chance that this player is the problem with the game, you're not going to get anywhere by telling them that they're at fault. Even when you're having disagreements with your players, they still gotta respect you. One of the best ways to earn respect is by respecting somebody back. Now, I recommend everybody gives their friends the benefit of the doubt and assume that they are not just bastards. This conversation gets much easier if you aren't confrontational about it. It's like trying to correct somebody when they're being racist. You don't get anywhere by saying, "Hey man, you're a fucking racist." When you accuse people of being bad, they get all defensive, and it becomes impossible to talk to them through logical appeals. You get a lot more miles if you say, "Hey man, that thing you just said is pretty racist," because that frees them from any guilt. They said something wrong, but they themselves are not evil. In that situation, you'll be free to logically explain why what they said was problematic, freeing you from the burden of having accused them of being terrible people. If we take this same technique and apply it to problem players, the correct response is not to say, "Hey man, you're causing problems in the game." That leaves us with the question of how this conversation should go. Before you even have it, you should ensure that you know everything going in. That means taking some real time to self-examine and determine whether or not you have been doing anything that would make your player feel specifically victimized. Sam, one of my best friends and one of the best DMs I've ever met, once ran a game where Kat was playing a Folklucan lyricist, a combination bard druid. He killed her 3 combats in a row. Now, Kat's a strong player, and she was playing a caster. Everybody knows going after a caster's first is a solid tactical move. Having Kat in a caster position is particularly dangerous because she tends to make moves that can break combats. Despite the tactical soundness of this decision, you can imagine that it caused some strife with Kat. This was a high-level game, so death was about as meaningful as it is in DC Comics. But it is profoundly annoying to have to be resurrected every other round just because every monster seems to be going after you first. Now, Kat and Sam didn't talk about this situation until a year after the game took place. All Sam needed to do to avoid the tension was change up his strategy every once in a while. So before you have your uncomfortable talk, you need to make sure that you understand every emotion that your player might be feeling. After all, you may have accidentally murdered them 4 times. In situations like that, emotions can add up. I recommend thinking hard about the last few sessions, even talking to some of your other players to make sure that you haven't done anything that might be interpreted as specifically singling that player out. Once you're in the know, you can press on with your talk. Now, I recommend starting out like this. Hey, recently it's been more difficult for me to run the game, and I think you might be able to help me make things smoother. I'm sure you see what I did there. There's not a single accusation in that statement. You're just reaching out to one of your players to help you with the game, which is ultimately what you're doing when you have a talk like this. Don't see your player as a problem. See them as a solution. It gives them an excuse not to argue with you, which is what you're both looking for. After all, rules lawyering is just arguing through proxies. Next, you have to call out the problem. I've noticed that in the past few sessions, you felt the need to oppose me on some of the rulings that I made during the game. Now, I understand that we all want to make sure we're doing things right. However, it really slows things down, and it cuts into our playtime. I was hoping we could sit down and talk about some of those issues right now before our next session so things go smoother in the future. Next, you gotta try and understand his perspective. I know it can be hard, because oftentimes these players are incredibly frustrating. But it's important if you actually want to resolve the issue to make sure you understand the other side. If you don't listen to him, he has no reason to listen to you. Remember, this isn't an argument, it's a negotiation. And in a negotiation, there's no winning and losing. It's just like a friendship. If you're thinking of your friendship in terms of, I wonder who's winning this friendship, well, then your friendship is in some serious trouble. Once he or she has said their piece, you have to really consider what they said. You have to acknowledge areas where they're correct. If we look at the example of Kat and Sam, Sam could definitely acknowledge that it seems unfair that he killed Kat, and specifically Kat, 4 combat sessions in a row. Then, you need to explain your perspective. And I don't mean your perspective on how specific rules are supposed to work. I mean your perspective as a DM. There's a lot that I'm responsible for as a DM. A lot of planning and hard work goes into putting your sessions together every night. Now, I realize sometimes I make rulings and decisions that don't exactly flow with everyone's interpretations of the rules, but that helps me move the story forward. Now, I want you to understand that these decisions aren't meant to punish you or any of the other players at the table. It's really so I can make the game work. I understand that it can be frustrating or confusing when I don't rule in your favor. But most of the time, the interest of the game is at heart. I realize that there are sometimes I flat out get things wrong, and it's okay to challenge me then. But for the most part, I need you to trust that I am not trying to victimize you. Talking openly like that can disarm people and help you get through to them more easily. Of course, sometimes even that doesn't work, in which case we do need to consider the nuclear option. Kicking a player out of a game is never to be taken lightly. However, sometimes it's necessary. First, I recommend talking to the other players in the game to ensure they feel comfortable and supportive of your decision. You should also make sure your problem player has one more opportunity to turn things around. Whether it's due to pride or stubbornness, sometimes it's difficult to get through to people until the very last minute. I recommend phrasing that final talk like this.
We've spoken before about your rules lawyering during sessions and how I think it's disruptive to the game. I haven't really noticed any improvement over the past couple sessions. At this point, I don't think the game can continue with you as a part of it if we are going to continually get sidetracked by rules discussions. I want to give you one more chance to rein it in. If not, the other players and I have discussed it, and we feel it would be best if we continued on without you. I don't want to see that happen, and I don't think they want to see that happen. We all value your friendship, and we all love this game, so we'd like you to be a part of it. If this session you could refrain from arguing any rules, we'd love to have you come back. And if that's not something you feel like you can do, then I'm afraid we're going to hang out with you in other ways than playing the game. That puts the power of leaving the game in the player's hand. He still has an opportunity to make things easy for everybody. And if he really can't do that, then he has to decide to move on himself. Well, there you have it, Yusef. Those are my techniques for dealing with problem players, especially rules lawyers. Now, if there are other players out there with questions about what to do with problem players, don't hesitate to email them in. Every situation is different, and as we all know, sometimes specific examples really help. Of course, the DM's perspective isn't the only one that matters in all of this. After all, role-playing is a group activity. Players can contribute to a harmonious atmosphere as well. If you notice that one of your fellow players is dragging the session down by constantly haranguing the DM about the rules, you should go and talk to them as well. You might be able to reach them in a way that the DM can't. After all, the DM is the person that that player is arguing with. So you come in sort of as a neutral party. Pride and an inability to pick up on social cues can make it difficult to work problems out with nerds, but it is possible. You just need to make them feel not threatened and understood. It's also important for you to remember that sometimes your DM does make decisions that aren't going to go by the book. That's okay. You're playing the game, and the reason you have a human being there running the game for you is because rules aren't perfect, and sometimes they need to be bent or even broken so that the game works properly. The one thing that everybody needs to remember is that role-playing is supposed to be fun, so don't sweat the small stuff. As long as it comes together in a big picture that is you and your buddies having fun, that's all that matters. Well, that's it for this week's Critical Success. Thanks again to Yusef for sending in his question.
Yusef has a blog where he discusses gaming, writing, and other such nerdery at yusuftana.com. We'll have a link in the episode description.
If you want to send in a question of your own, you can send it to jamesdamatoismagic@gmail.com. I don't know if I'll be able to update content weekly with Critical Success, but I'll give it my best shot. And those questions really help inspire me. This is a Peaches and Hot Sauce production, and the companion podcast to One Shot. One Shot updates every Thursday, and Critical Success will update every Monday when we update. Be sure to check out One Shot, which again updates every Thursday. This month we're playing Feng Shui with Comics Alliance writer and contributor Chris Sims. It was probably one of the most fun role-playing experiences I've had in the past year. I'd also like to remind everyone that I'm still looking for appropriate theme music for Critical Success. So if you know of a nerdy song that you think matches the flavor of this show, send the recommendation to jamesdamatoismagic@gmail.com, and I'll give it a listen and hopefully we'll put it on the air. For right now, that music you hear swelling up over my voice is Be Your Own Pet with Adventure. See you next time, heroes.